is the Tiltcast, episode 585, right in the cakes. And this week, guys, we talked Songs of Conquest, Elden Ring, Hellblade 2, and Xbox Summer Games Con. Stay tuned.
So, we're back. Get a bite out of crime.
I got nothing.
The Tiltcast.
There we go.
It is a M-rated show.
Now he's ready to go.
Yeah. It is 6:27 on June 9th, Central Time. A balmy, I don't know, 79 degrees on a Sunday. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And with the three of us, you'll get about 30 minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games and some news. Yeah, there's news today, but I don't know how caught up we are. We'll see. Yeah, we're back. Three of us, plus one Jason and one Rusty.
Yes. Yes. Sorry.
Well, it was
A landline phone was ringing behind me, so I needed to mute myself. Sorry.
Why do you have a landline?
Because I live with an old lady.
We had 1995?
No, the house comes with an old landline, and that landline has been in existence since, I think, the
30s.
Well, since the phone system was put in this little village. So basically, nobody wants to give up the number. So I have a wireless handset hooked to the fiber in my, you know, in my room, because that's where the fiber line comes in.
You have a cordless phone still?
I have a cordless phone hooked up in the corner over here. It's literally in the corner. I can't even reach it. It's like underneath shit. It is a base unit for the handset that is upstairs.
I don't even know if I've seen a house phone.
A house phone,
since I lived at that apartment, and Trent, who's like an old man at heart, insisted we have one because we needed a landline.
I mean,
and that was 10 years ago.
We can't even say that this is for emergencies, because back in those days, landlines were powered by the phone company. I mean, they were low voltage line and they had their own power. So basically, even if the power was out, you could go pick up a handset, as long as it was a clamshell or, you know, something that was corded, you would be able to get a dial tone and make a call. These days, that shit's dead, gone. Nobody actually has that kind of service anymore. So the landline service that I have here is run off of my fiber modem.
So it's over VoIP.
Yeah, through VoIP. So it emulates the fact that it is a landline. And if the power goes out, you ain't got no phone. Because fiber modem, they don't have no power. So, you're boned. It's just an amazing thing for, you know, for those people who live in the backwards country of northern Michigan. Because,
well, just looking at this is an AI answer, so who knows if it's right, but saying that right now only 29% of U.S. adults lived in a house with a landline phone, down from 90% in 2004.
I mean, right. And that's the thing.
So a follow-up question from Google was, are landlines being switched off in 2025? And it says yes. Once the public switch telephone network is switched off in 2025, you'll no longer be able to make phone calls via landline with no internet connection.
Right. So we had that problem at work, and that was a thing. You have to think about it. Things that you don't think that actually require a phone line, like a landline phone. elevators. Elevators have to have a landline phone. And most elevators were put in, you know, 30 years ago or more. So they use a standard-ass phone line. And they have to have that for, emergency situations like power, you know, if the power goes out and, somebody's stuck between floors or whatever, you have to be able to hit the emergency button, right? It's, it's the law, for elevators. So we had to actually come up with a VoIP solution for for an elevator. And I mean, it exists, but there's not very many of them out there. there isn't very many service providers that do specifically what we were looking for. And it had to be separate from like any other kind of like networking or anything like that. So it had to be used cell service to be able to convert cell service into a landline phone line.
So the funny thing is that another statistic said that only a quarter of adults in the U.S. still have landlines, and only 5% say they mostly or only rely on them. That's 5% of the 25%.
Right. So basically nobody fucking uses landlines anymore. Everybody has a cell phone. And
like you can get a cell phone for $18 a month, which is cheaper than a landline.
And yeah, and I mean, they're so cheap that you can go pick one up at like a Walmart or some shit and be done with it, but I don't know. Yeah. So every so often the landline phone goes off behind me and it drives me batty every time it does, because I'm like, why does that thing exist? And because it's the base unit, I can't turn the fucking ringer off.
Oh, because it's the one that sorts.
It's the base unit.
Yeah. So here we are with Rusty living in 1995.
Right.
me and Jason have been installing pools for days.
I've been installing dial-up.
Where I was telling, so Dave, our DM, the one that came over the other night, and I was telling Dave, I was like, well, in one way, it's kind of good that Jason didn't show up, because we'd still be leveling the sand by the time it got dark. You're way more of a perfectionist. I'm kind of a good enoughinist, as in there are things that require precision and there are things that are good enough. And I don't want to put more effort into it. And I think, Rusty, you also suffer from that as well. If it's done, you have to do it to the maximum effort sometimes.
I have to do it, yes.
In this case, the only thing really wrong is I'm off, but I in the opposite way. So normally I'm off and I'm too low on a side. And my low side is level. And me and Dave, initially, because of how the water was flowing, thought that one side needed to be higher. So we double stacked some paving stones under the legs to make sure it was going to be even. And now that's my high side. So I need to pull out those pavers in order to level it out. It'll be close, like within, I don't know, a quarter inch all the way around. I spent this week, like every day after work, pulling sand and gravel and sticks and all sorts of bullshit. I trimmed down my tree, got all that stuff done earlier this week, and then I had 60 bags of sand and gravel delivered. I'd already had 60 bags here, but as Jason had remarked in our little chat, that's since sunk into the earth some from the weight of the pool. So I ordered more, right? Another $350 worth of shit. And then it was muddy the day that he delivered it. So it was delivered Tuesday. And Jason, you know that it was raining like crazy that day. Yep. And the guy was like, well, I'm going to leave ruts in your yard. And I don't know if you or your neighbor's going to like that. And I was like, fine, just, drop it off close to the gate. And then that same day it got real windy and it blew my gate off. So I had to repair my gate. And I had to truck in 60 bags of sand and gravel into the backyard. They're 50 pounds a piece, right? Like, I'm no wimp, but it is some, you know, it's not lifting weights. It's lifting stuff with your back.
Fucking CrossFitting over here.
Yeah. So I just dropped it inside the gate and I was like, all right, good enough for today. And the next day I got all that stuff because now it's Wednesday and I'm like, all right, the boy's going to be over here Friday. I need to get this shit done. So I unloaded it all on Wednesday, but didn't really level it out. Just like kind of raked it to, you know, more or less get it in the enclosure. And then Thursday I spent a good 2 hours like leveling it out with, you know, using the scree method, right? You put a piece of rebar in there. I still got a big long ass board that I taped a level to, and then you like put a paver stone or something like that, a weight on the end so that it doesn't pull up. And then you tie a rope to it and like kind of spin it in circles till it's more or less level. And then you get down on your hands and knees and like try to like level it out a little bit better. And then of course, you know, you're going in a circle, so the corners are still off. So then you got to do the corners and then you got to spin it around. And got really fucking sick of that. And then that day I still had to mow the lawn. And then Friday I was like, all right, these guys are going to get here. We can get this pull out. Jason's like, well, my brother-in-law got me 5 tons of sand. I'm ready to go. I was like, fuck. But, you know, so he got his sand for his pull. So he started setting up his pull. And I was like, all right, Dave, you know, I didn't have to beg Dave. But Dave's not a pool. You know, he's not. He's handy enough, but he's not really handy, right? So, like, he just kind of figured it out with me. But he did help a lot. Because it's a lot easier to spread out a 15-foot tarp, right? And a 15-foot pool liner and get all that shit assembled if you got two sets of hands to do it, you know? So it went up relatively quickly and more or less leveled out pretty quickly. And then I started filling it that night and then kept on filling it yesterday. And I've got way more red ants than I knew that I ever had. So now I've got to exterminate a bunch of fucking ants. My pool robot works. My filter is leaking, but I think that's because there's probably too much sand around the washer and I need to disassemble it and reassemble it. I just don't want to do that right now. So it's leaking a little bit while it's running, but like it's mostly clean. I just dumped a bunch of chlorine in there. My pH was almost perfect, which was crazy. Like my pH, Jason, my regular water pH was 7.4.
Nice.
I don't have to add shit to that. I just need to add chlorine. So that's what I did. Just dumped half a jug of chlorine in there, and right now I'm just, you know, letting her do its thing with the filter on high, you know. And yep. I've been shooting photos like a madman, and I've been playing video games like a madman. I haven't been sleeping a lot. But today especially, I was trying to sell a bike for my mom, and motherfucker didn't show up for ever. Kept making excuses, then finally told me, like, explain, yeah, we can meet at like noon. You know, I'm not going to give you my mom's address until you're ready to go. But I told him about where she's at, right? The city that she's in, because it's not real big. I was like, if you want to figure out what your time is, here's where it's at. And then, you know, I'll give you the address once we get closer to a meetup time. And then he flaked on me and then didn't reply and then gave me a bunch of excuses and then didn't reply. And then finally at like 3:00, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do it. I think there's too much hassle here. I was like, all right, well, thank you for your time. Motherfucker, waste freaking hours of my life. But I did help my mom with something else, so wasn't all for naught. But I have sat down as long as I've been sitting in Discord today. And that is basically it. And yeah, I've got a whole bunch of bands I got to do a bunch of edits for photos. And then I've got a photo shoot tomorrow. So here we are. And Jason, you've been doing pool shit. How's you putting up pavers and, you know, tons of sand going for you?
Oh, dude. So first things first, we find this out Friday morning. And that, you know, we can get a shit ton of sand cheap. And I still have like a ton worth of sand. Like a pile of it. But anyway, figure out we can get it cheap. Basically, the wife's brother was going to hook us up at cost. So then, because of this, the mad dash begins. So I leave work, go Lowe's, buy enough retaining wall stones to build a decent retaining wall on the low side of the pool. Figure out I really should have just planned to put them all the way around the damn pool, but I was in a rush. Built the retaining wall. Marley's little friend, three of her friends come over. They help me, you know, putting up the wall and just moving dirt in general. And then we start shucking sand from this giant ass 5-ton pile in our front yard to the backyard. Because there was no way a dump truck was getting anywhere close to our backyard. Got about half of it in Friday night. Spent a good portion of yesterday getting the rest of the sand in her. Leveling it out. Got everything set up. Liners in. Great. 10 o'clock last night. Pool's filling, and I have the bottom stretched out. Most of the creases are gone, etc., etc. I'm thinking, this is looking great. Wake up this morning. It pulls a little over half full, and six of the damn pool legs on the low side slipped off of the pavers from the weight. And right down into the sand.
Ugh.
Like a good 4 inches just sunk.
Ugh.
That sucks.
Yeah. I was like, Jesus. Two hard fucking days of work and this is what I get. So then I start game planning. Okay. I only have one floor jack now because my other one had busted. So, I'm going to, I guess since I don't have two floor jacks, I'm going to build a jig to basically put 2 2x4s up on each side of a leg and basically screwed those in at the bottom to a 2x6 so there was a little bit more surface for the single floor jack to grab onto. And another 2x6 up near the top just to hold them in line together. And I just start jacking up legs one at a time. Just moving them a couple inches each time. You know, like putting a spacer underneath it, lowering it, going to the next leg. And just doing that like twice per leg to get them all back up on the retaining wall pavers. And a couple legs I actually had to put bricks inside my retaining wall pavers because with the water weight in the pool, the wall just wasn't tight enough. So at least now I know I need to make my circle a little bit tighter next year once this pool season's done. But yeah, it's been all pool for the last 2 days. But you know what? It's worth it. Cause when it gets as hot as it does here, sometimes there's nothing like when you get home from work, just grabbing a beer, going in the backyard, stepping into your pool and just lounging.
I don't disagree, though. I don't do beer near as much as I used to, but in fact, I was taking photos last night. I didn't have any beer. I had Diet Coke all night to make sure my pictures weren't fuzzy. Still paid $25 in Diet Coke because it's at a bar that hosts bands.
Oh, God.
Each of those Diet Cokes are like $5. I forgot about that.
Rip.
Still made a profit. But fuck. Yeah, the last night, I don't know if... Probably nobody outside of here knows about this, but there's a bicycle race called Tulsa Tough. And that was happening last night. I got a text from at 6 o'clock from one of the guys, Eric, that hired me to do pictures. He's like, dude, you got to get down here. Like, doors are at 7. He's like, you got to leave. I was like, what do you mean? I was like, doors don't open at 7. He's like, we didn't know that Tulsa Tough was the same night as the show. I was like, I didn't even know what it was. I was like, what the hell is that? He's like, it's a fucking bicycle race. He's like, he's like, there's a bunch of dorks downtown and they're clogging up traffic. And I was like, how bad can it be? He's like, once you get downtown, you'll see. He's like, there's parking nowhere. He's like, I hope you don't have to pay, but be prepared to walk. All right. Yeah. It's like, I will, we'll prepare the Lamborghinis and, you know, put on my good shoes. That when I shoot, I always put on these like toe shoes because I know I'll be standing on concrete and be in awkward positions. And no joke, like I got downtown, got off the exit to get downtown, and immediately there was a line. And it's at a place called the Vanguard, and the Vanguard's about a mile from that exit. And of course, you know, there's a light every block downtown, right? So I got to go through like 12 lights to get over there. And it took me 30 minutes to go a mile in my car. And then I still park 3 blocks away, like next to the jail, David L. Moss. That's where I park basically. And I had to walk my happy ass all the way over there, which is over by Kane's in that little corner. And yeah, it was a long walk and there was like a little crosswalk and there was all these dorks on bikes racing around downtown. Had to wait, like there's a little crossing guard, had everything blocked off, and then you see like 50 bikes go zipping by, and then the crossing, you know, as a policeman, then opens little gates, and then you can walk through. It's like these fucking dorks. I don't hate cyclists. I really dislike the ones that don't realize that they don't drive the speed limit and drive in the middle of the road, and there's quite a few around my house. That you'd be in a rush to go do something, and then there's like 6 of them, you know, going at a leisurely pace, 15 miles an hour in a 50 or a 45 or even a 40. And you're just like, I got places, and you can't pass them. Like, there's no room because there's also traffic. And it's literally just clogged up for a mile and a half because of these fucking jackasses. Go ride in a park, you motherfucker. Yeah. And unless you've got an engine on that motherfucker, go ride in a park. Or go ride downtown where there's a bike lane. Don't clog up traffic here. Yeah, we've got this guy that like is in a specialty bike that sits way low to the ground. Man, you can tell he thinks he's the coolest thing ever. And he just looks like a fucking dork. Little bike shorts.
I don't know, man. He might be able to use some of that salt in the pool.
Just drive me nuts. Yeah, there's a lot of cyclists around here. Good on them. I'm glad they're fit. I'm glad they wear the little tight shorts.
Damn.
But yeah, so it took me forever to get through that fucking shit. And then walking back, right? Like I went in there initially to shoot 2 bands. I was like, all right, I'm going to shoot 2 bands. And then, you know, I might stay a little bit later. I was like, the main act doesn't even go on until 11. And they started late, but the main act, the guitar player, was like, hey, Eric told me to come talk to you about some photos. I was like, all right, what do you charge? And I gave him a rate. He's like, He's like, are you worth it? I was like, have you checked out my page? I'm a little bit cocky. I'm pretty good at what I do.
And, are you worth it?
I was like,
I'm not worth it at all.
I was like, I mean, if you don't pay me, I was like, I'll take a couple of promos and, you know, you can have that if you want. I'll aim for 2 shots per person in a band when they're not paying me. And then the idea is that I know they'll come back and then when they do, they'll pay me full price, right? And so I'll sometimes post photos of people I took shots of for free, but it's like do a color and a black and white of everybody in the band. And it's especially lucrative and easy to do when there's only a 3-person band because it takes me no time at all to get 2 angles of everybody, maybe a group shot. And he's like, I'll look. I was like, all right. Then he came back. He's like, I'll pay. I was like, all right. I was like, all right, so, and then here's the thing. And then I kind of gave him my rules of engagement. So I kind of have my own thing of what I want to do. Like, if you want really good shots, like, I got to be able to get up on stage a little bit. Because drummers sit in the back, right? And they sit up high, typically, especially here, right? They're like 12 feet in the air. So how the hell am I going to get, like, what ends up happening if I don't is I try to shoot between the cymbals and I can catch their face. And I take some okay shots doing that, but they don't never turn out the way that I want them to. So I got to be able to sneak up. So I told him, I was like, hey, let me sneak up on stage, take pictures of your drummer and take a few from the side. He's like, you got it. And I was like, and you know, don't forget to ham it up for me a little bit. And, you know, watch my back if they're moshing behind me or something, like point it out for me so I can move my happy ass out of the way.
Right.
But yeah, so I did. And then it meant I ended up staying till their set ended at 12:15, a band called Perseus, which is like they had been on a national tour. They're like an up and coming band that's got an album out that's not huge yet, but like, had just gotten a contract kind of level, right? So but one of the guys is from here. So this is the last leg of their tour because they were coming back to town basically. And, so, you know, made a good contact. Guy seemed pretty, pretty nice. He paid me more than I asked for. So I gave them more than what I'd normally give, right? So ended up having to stay there till like 12:30 and then came home and I downloaded 150 gigs worth of photos to my computer, or transferred that many over. I had to buy a better transfer stick. I was doing research on like transfer speed sticks, right? And I have an adapter that you can put a micro SD adapter in it, right? And it will transfer, but it transfers at like, I don't know, 25 megabytes a second or something, right? So 150 gigs take you like 2 hours or 3 hours, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This little thing transfers at 250 megabytes a second. It's just got a lightning fast transfer speed. If I plug the micro SD directly in without the adapter. And so like 150 gigs took me 10 minutes. So, which is nice. So I did, like, I was up really fucking late last night.
So was I.
but I wasn't playing any, I didn't play. I played a little bit of video games yesterday. I got video games to talk about, though. So when we get to that point, I've got those things to talk about. Rusty, did you do anything this last week?
Let's see.
I mean, you've been out in the woods today.
Yeah, I was out in the woods, and it was my grandfather's birthday. My aunt, my grandfather's birthday. So they, so we cooked out, had a bunch of ribs and, you know, chicken over the fire. And it was
like proper ribs, like smoked ribs.
Yeah. That was that's what we were doing. Yeah. Smoked ribs, baby back ribs over the fire. Super good. Fall off the bone. Awesome. Mom did a really good job. And then I did chicken quarters over the fire too. Got those nice and blackened and, you know, tasting real nice and seasoned up properly. Oh, super good. But it started out basically, you know, the weekend started out going, well, I'm just going to chillax. I needed a mental break. So I went out there, watched wood burn, cooked over the fire, had some good times, drank some apple pie, and then, you know, came back home and passed out. And then I heard today they were doing kebabs over the fire. So I was invited out to have some kebabs. I'm like, all right, cool. I can go out there for a little bit. Just before I leave, I get a call from the guy I'm doing that owns the park, and I'm doing the Wi-Fi of the woods situation for him. And he's like, let's get that done today. I'm like, all right, let's do this. So I've been out there messing with the Wi-Fi, out at the park for the majority of the day. I mean, kebabs took half an hour. And then the rest of the day I was out there fucking with the Wi-Fi. So I'm out there, dealing with that, making cables, hooking up, hooking things up. People are complaining that the Wi-Fi doesn't work and, whatever. I turned it off so that I can turn it back on again situation, right? So it's that whole park has been it's been a fun challenge. It is a very large space to put Wi-Fi in. Like most people put Wi-Fi in a building.
Correct.
I am putting Wi-Fi in.
It's for RVs, basically, right?
Like, in for RVs. Yeah, this is an RV park, like a campground. And there's just no good way of saying it. There's not enough access points, per square foot. I mean, you can put as many access points as you want out there, and it's not ever going to be enough. It's you're broadcasting in an open area, and that open area is constantly blocked with different sized Faraday cages. It's just a challenge to get it all going. And that's one of the reasons why I've been kind of working on it off and on over the course of the last part of last summer and, the beginning of this one. But I got most of it, all the equipment that I purchased or had them purchase, I got it all configured, it all put up. And, right now I'm in the monitor for issues and balance mode. And then this phase of the project will be complete. I say this phase because there's probably going to be multiple phases, but they're not going to want to do more than one phase a year. So return business. This is what it comes down to be. It's not what I want. It's not exactly the, up to my standards, because my standards is it's perfect everywhere. But it's better than nothing for a campground,
That's true.
So that's been kind of the excitement for this week, really. It's just been kind of like, I don't know. I've been coming to work or going to work, coming home, and trying to get my mind off of work for a good long while, and found myself kind of lost in Miyazaki land. I only did play video games, and a lot of them. I put a lot of hours into Elden Ring this week. I've put a lot of hours.
I've put like you're probably about to lap me again. Let's see. I've just gotten up to, I finished most of Atlas Plateau. That's where I'm at. And I'm waiting on the final quest for Volcano Manor until I get further into Atlas. You've already lapped me?
I have lapped you. I have, I've completed the game again. I am at, I am currently at the beginning of New Game Plus. So this playthrough was, this playthrough was a little bit different. Like, I decided to start from scratch, A, and B, I was going to play a Faith Arcane build. So it was kind of a weird setup. Like, I was using a curved club with the flame strike skill for a good portion of the beginning of the game. And that does a butt ton of damage, like, early on. So the flame strike skill, you just basically, like, spread some fire out in front of you, but then if you do a heavy attack through it, it sets your, it does a heavy attack plus fire damage because of the fire fan that you put out in front of you, and it lights your weapon on fire. So you get additional fire damage on your weapon for like 20 seconds. And that was just chewing through enemies. Like, it was super awesome.
Flame strikes in Caelid, right? The Ash.
I think so. I can't. Yeah, no, that was Flame of the Red Veins is in Caelid. I can't remember exactly right offhand. It's been at least 76 hours ago, which is the length of this last playthrough. But yeah, that was a really good start. And then I transitioned about midway through the game. Once I got up to the plateau, I got the Eleonora's blade, the twin blade. I transitioned to twin blades, or twin bleed, not twin blades. I prefer the singular jump attack playthrough, and did the bloody dancer build.
So it is that an arcane build?
Yeah, that was a full arcane build. That was.
Is it just enough dex to get the weapon and then just dump arcane, basically?
Yep, basically. And then I dropped like 25. I had 25 in faith so that I could use Golden Vow. And I just buffed Golden Vow, Flame Grant Me Strength, go in, and just like buzzsaw through shit.
It's actually
kind of nutty.
It's funny you mentioned just like there's some like new mechanics that I just wasn't familiar with playing this last time, right? Mm-hmm. So thinking about logistics, right? Dead things probably don't like holy damage, right? And I played a faith playthrough before, and I'm not playing a faith playthrough, but I use a faith Art of War sometimes, the one that does the faith, you know, frisbee, not the frisbee, but the like it, you slice your sword or your scythe or whatever out, right? And then it shoots a little projectile. And right. Then enchants it with holy. And those death birds take a ridiculous amount of damage if you get that Ash of War off. Like, oh, yeah. It's like two hits, sometimes three hits. But, like, I was going for death birds. Like, some of the things I've been finding going through a walkthrough, like, there's actually some places I just flat out missed as far as, like, little caves and little dungeons that I just flat out missed, especially in Atlas Plateau. I just wouldn't, you know, I played a natural playthrough my first time.
Right.
And, you know, this time I was like, well, you know, I'll use the right ashes at the right time. So I've got a Naga Kiba finally. I finally got that quest completed with the samurai dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the sacred ash on that, which seems weird, right? But it's not as powerful as my scythe. I just haven't had the materials to get it to plus 20 like my scythe is yet. So it's like at plus 18. Still really, really fucking good. But with that, it's my undead killer. So I just, you know, instead of like swapping out ashes all the time, like I kind of just have dedicated weapons for different things. Like the crystal dudes, got Knight Rider's flail for those guys. Anytime I got to go into a cavern that I know that's going to have needs blunt damage, I just use the flail for that and it just destroys. And then, you know, I've got the Holy Naga Kiba, which is my death bird and undead destroyer. And then I've got my scythe that does bloody cold damage. And I do switch that up sometimes to keen because I've got a dex build, and then I'll use that with blood fire or whatever that is, blood flame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it does nasty damage. I've got the sword dance with it, which is like the two big slices, and then you do a follow-up slice. And I've got the talisman that on your last attack of a combo does monster damage. And trust me, it does monster damage. Like, it just, it procs bleed like crazy. It has really big arcs on it. I don't have to aim it really because it's got such big arcs on it. It's a nasty death dealer. And I'm enjoying that, but I would, you know, Fextra Life, looking at builds and stuff, I was like, I've got a lot of decks. I wonder, like, how I make this a bow good. So I've got a pulley bow, and it's got, that pulley bow actually does some pretty nasty damage, too. Like, it hits, I'm talking a bow, right? That can crit, but my basic bow shots, without using my Ash of War, hitting for, like, 500. Like, it does really solid damage. So, like, when I need to be at range, just, I've got the bow, and I've got so much stamina built up. I've got a pretty heavy equip weight. Like, I've got a really beefy dex build. Like, I've got, I want to say, 60 points in dex, and I've got 40 in stamina or whatever it is, endurance. And I can, like, wear almost the heaviest armor in the game without talismans. So I just have a bow and a main weapon and a casting ornament, a parry shield and a heavy shield all on my character at the same time. Jesus. So the heavy shield is for when I need stuff to block, right? Like, there's some bosses, I call them the coffin grabbers, the guys on wheels that, like, have little arms that reach out, try to, like, swallow you, and then they do a bunch of spinny shit.
Oh, yeah.
They're really fucking hard to parry. So I just grabbed a great shield. And use that when they pull out their bullshit, and I can't roll through all of it. And I was just like, all right, well, get into a maiden. And my parashield's got the spell parry on it, too. So if I got a lot of casters, I just parry that, and then, you know, it steals that, and then pulls up the little, like, knives around you, and then you just, you know, fucking shoot back their shit at them.
Oh, the retaliation?
Yeah, it's awesome. And, or, you know, when you got I finally figured out the Crucible Knight parry. So anytime I run into a Crucible Knight now, it's just the parry game. But
oh god, I fucking hate Crucible Knights. Like, Crucible Knights sucked for this playthrough, mainly because when I dropped the club, I no longer had anything that had any kind of, like, stagger.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so, and you can't just, like, chain a bunch of attacks on, you know, on those Crucible Knights, because they seem like they have infinite poise.
Yeah, they seem like it. There's a few enemies that are like that. They just, like, little zombies that are in the catacombs, like, they have infinite poise. Right. They just don't stagger. So it's just like, all right, well, I'm going to get off a couple of quick attacks, and hopefully that kills them.
Right. And with Crucible Knights, it is, for my build, especially, you know, when it was, you know, about midway through the game, just starting out with that build, and Crucible Knight started popping up, it was rough, because I didn't have an option for blocking. So I had to dodge roll through all of it. And it was, you know, like, they're relentless. Like, they know when you're going to use a fucking pot, and if you're going to try to heal, they will stab you. Unless they are animation locked, they will come up and stab you in the face. It is uncanny, the fact that they're so goddamn aggressive, and they will find a way to, like, poke you in the fucking face every single time. I got mad at them until I sat there and, like, put my Dark Souls 3 face on and just said, okay, you have a move set. Let's learn it. And and it was like, I just studied this Crucible Knight, died to him a few times that I didn't need to die to him, but I said, okay, this is the attacks, right? Learned that freaking move set. Next time I come up against a Crucible Knight, I have him down, like, instantly. He's like, you know, he'll come up, he'll do his, you know, his four hit combo, and I'm like, wah, 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 wah. And if I'm using with the Eleanor's pull blade, it does a lot of poise damage if you can get both of the hits off. So it's got, you know, one L2 that kind of like spins and goes forward, and then you get another L2 that spins and goes backward. If you can get both of those hits off, you can stagger just about anything. Like, I was staggering dragons with it. This is nuts. Like, so I had him down, so every time there was an opening, I had one of those, you know, queued up for him. And that backward spin got me out of his, you know, retaliatory swing every single time. Just barely. If I timed it just right. So it was really, it finally clicked. Like, sometimes they will do something crazy, like fucking shoulder drive me or fucking do something weird. But every so often I can bait the right attack out and just like wallop them. And it feels good to, kill those things in like 5 to 10 seconds. Especially if you can get like a couple procs of bleed off of them and see their health just chunk away. Oh, my favorite thing to do in this game is kill those bastards.
I don't disagree.
They're like the marauders in fucking Doom. I mean, honestly, they're a chore and they don't die easily. And if you fuck up, they will murder your face. But yeah, it feels good to kill those fuckers. Like I've had more experiences with like normal enemies being tougher than bosses, especially in Elden Ring. I'd noticed that. Hopefully the DLC fixes that and they actually give us some really good bosses, because some of these bosses are chumps.
That is one thing that's such a big, there's a buffet of bosses in Elden Ring, which is not the same as the other games, right?
No.
And some of the bosses, like, you're like, was that a boss? I killed it in 4 hits.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit, you're like, okay, well, there's a lot of like common enemies that are harder.
Well, I mean, when I went up against the Lord of Blood, right? And I'm playing basically a bleed build. I'm going up against the Lord of Blood. And I pop a silver tear, and, you know, that's the mimic, basically, of, you know, so it's a copy of me. And we, you know, between the two of us going at it with the Eleanor's twin blade, we had procced bleed on the Lord of Blood like 3 or 4 times. And it didn't even get his his big cast off that normally, like, insta procs blood loss and, you know, powers him up, where he just stands in the middle of the fucking room and just like, stabs the spear into this guy. Didn't even get that off because we just murdered his face. Just
I've been using the jar boy.
The jar boy.
Yeah, if you know what I'm talking about, there's a quest that you go talk to this guy that's over by Ronnie, and he drops some mimic, or not mimic ashes, he drops 2 ashes, right? One of those ashes is a guy that throws random enchanted jars. And once he's leveled up, like, when you're fighting something, he'll hit him with, like, fire, then rot, then holy, then point. Like, he just, it's completely random, but he's just, like, dancing around, like, tossing pots at shit. It's pretty funny. I rather enjoy it, but, like, for some of the faster-moving bosses, where I'm just, like, angling to get a hit, like, Jar Boy's over there doing the Lord's work, just tossing pots at shit. And right. For whatever reason, he doesn't seem to aggro that much shit. So, and I don't mind being the focus of attention if Jar Boy's going to do a lot of damage. So, I've been using Jar Boy a lot just because I used the Mimic tier a lot in the last playthrough. And, of course, for the stuff that's going to be harder, like Millennia and stuff like that, like, I'll probably not use Jar Boy. I'll probably use Mimic tier. But for a lot of the basic stuff, I know it's not going to be a overly difficult fight. Like, just use Jar Boy. Like, all the dragon fights, just all Jar Boy.
Right.
Most of the dragons are, like, once you realize you just need to basically stay under them and just whack the tail instead of trying to whack the head, it's not that bad.
I know. And that's and that's one of the things, like...
When you, especially after coming after off the dragon fighting, fight in the end of Ring City, you're like,
right. After fighting Madeir, the rest none of these dragons feel right. None of the Elden Ring dragons, not even like the one that's in crumbling, whatever the crumbling place is.
The tornado dragon.
Yeah, the tornado dragon.
Yeah, the thing, like, Elden Ring is excessively good. Like, but I do feel like Elden Ring is Souls a lot more casual. And I think that's what makes it good, right? Because you can kind of go in and romp and stomp. Like, after you get to a certain level, like, some things are hard, right? Like, the ball bearing hunter is still kind of hard for me. But I don't die that often. I die to stupid shit. Like, really stupid shit. Like, falling off ledges or...
Yeah.
Things like that. But your risk with the stakes where you can just respawn in, like, 2 seconds away from where you just died. Like, it's... All when I'm doing these dungeons, right? Like, instead of going back and saving at the bonfire or whatever, you know, the grace, and then going in, like, I know there's a stake there. I'll just, like, yeah, I've got 3 vials. Let's just see if I can do it. And more than often, I do, right? And then if I die, I just, all right, well, I'm 2 seconds away from the entrance, so I died. Now I've got full health and full everything, so ready to take this on a second time. And then, all right, I got it done. And so I think, after you've played all the Souls games back-to-back, more or less, and then you play Elden Ring. Elden Ring is the easiest one, but it is the biggest one. And there are some legitimately hard fights. I know some people have died to Malenia a lot. I don't... We'll see once I get to that. I don't... Like, after you understand what's going on there, and, like, if you're beefy enough, you can punish the shit out of her.
I think Malenia was harder for me... As a spellcaster.
Oh, yeah, as a spellcaster.
The first time I played through.
If you got a little bit of stagger, like, she's not that, she's kind of a chump.
Oh, my God. Like, when I went through the game, the, you know,
I did it with Bloodflame Blade. And I did it in one, I did it in two attempts blind with Bloodflame. Is it Bloodflame Blade or whatever? Blasphemous Blade.
Blasphemous Blade.
Yeah, I punched the shit out of her with it.
Blasphemous Blade was fine. But imagine going in there with the great sword, like the Guts great sword.
Yeah.
When you go in with the Guts great sword and you've got the lion's claw ash on the Guts great sword, which basically has you do a backflip or a forward flip and a freaking slam.
Yeah.
It pancakes her. And if you pancake a boss like that, you punish the shit out of them as they get up. And it's like pancake, two swings as they're getting up, you know, pancake. And then, of course, you've got your mimic tier and it's doing a pancake freaking attack, too. So it's just like Malenia never even got up or, you know, swung her sword once. It was so I'm like, this is. They had to have made a change to this boss because.
Well, it's just like Radahn.
Huh?
Like Radahn. I went into that recently, right? And I was like, man, I'm like super prepared to die a lot. Like I was down a flask even. I was like, it's going to be tough. I don't know if I can do it. I got it on the first or second attempt. I don't remember dying. I might have died, but I'm pretty sure I got it on the first attempt. And I just remembered, it was like, oh, yeah, I can resummon all these guys, right? So, like, when his focus was back on, like, solely on me, because there's only me and, you know, Wolfman, I just got up on my horse and rode around for a little bit, clicking buttons until, like, I had 4 more guys come charging the hill again. And once he got distracted again, I went back to whacking away. And I was like, okay. And that was with a plus 15 scythe, right? Like... just bleed cold. I just did bleed cold so I wouldn't have to enchant again, basically. And I know cold makes them more susceptible to damage. So, like,
you know,
watched my shit proc over and over and over again. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, it's kind of a longer fight. It's really fucking epic. I love the whole meteor coming in and what for phase two.
Right.
But
right.
When he got to phase two, he was at 1/8 health. That's how fast I was beating him down.
Wow.
So he got in at phase two and I resummoned everybody while he was streaking in. I say everybody, like four people, and then just went back to go take the last little piece of cake. Right. Cause I was hitting him right in the cake, right in those man cakes.
Right in the man cakes. The Verdun's fight was actually tougher for me because I had the curved club, but most of that fight is on horseback, so I couldn't really use the ash.
Oh, I got off horse and fought him on the ground.
Well, I mean, I eventually did, but the reality of it was I was getting my ass handed to me. Whereas I had the extra reach on the first, on my first recent playthrough with, the Guts Greysword, it was, that fight wasn't nearly as bad with the, with the, Greatsword, but that club was just, I eventually got it down, but it was rough. Any big epic boss or any boss that couldn't bleed was a challenge for the Eleanor's twin blade, because if you can't proc bleed, then that is just it's not doing all the damage that it should, and that's really where its power is procking bleed very quickly, so anything made of rock just sucked. So I ended up doing, changing up every so often to, a different, like a hammer, or I tried a spear at one point. And I tried a few different builds. I did end up finishing the game, with the twin blade. I want to call it a pole blade for some reason. I ended up finishing the blade with the finishing it with the Eleanor's twin blade. I'm done with that weapon. I retired it. It was fun while it lasted, but I want my big guns back. I play better with like colossal weapons, or even like great swords. I can do like slower weapons, things with some heft to it. I play these games better with that. So that, that said, I do have one last challenge I need to make for myself before Shadow of the Erdtree comes out. I am one achievement away from 100%ing Elden Ring. I have to get the Frenzied Flame ending. So I am going to go through it again, and I have decided to do this as New Game Plus, and I have to choose what build, because I went through and I did everything. I got all the weapons and all the incantations and all the spells and everything that I could do in this last playthrough. I've got it. So I have all these options. I did a straight up sorcerer the very first playthrough. Strength on the second. Dex Arcane on the third. I am doing a straight up faith caster for the fourth. I am going in as a pyromancer.
I mean, faith's pretty fucking strong.
And this is not a, when the shit gets. Hefty, I pull out a sword. No. Full caster. I have no weapons other than the seals in my hand.
I mean, I guess you could do that. You can also get Cypher Pata? The face scaling fist weapons?
Well, I do have... Let me check there.
Yeah, there's one weapon that scales, or one or two weapons that scale straight off faith.
There's the coated sword.
Yep.
And it's a fist weapon. You're right.
You get it after.
Correct.
Yep.
See, slash pierce.
I've got a weird memory. So you get it.
Yeah.
You fight the invader. You fight the invader in the whatever the headquarters is called. You jump off the ledge and you go fight the invader that's kind of a bitch to beat. And then you go off in that room, and in that room's the Cypherpata. Do you know what I'm talking about? The round table room. So you go to the round table. And then when you go off, jump off the ledge, right? If you can beat that guy, you can go in that room that's right next to it. And that's where you find the Cypherpata.
Okay.
So once you're filling your oats and you're ready to go fight that guy, just go do it. And then go get your holy faith laser claws.
I've got my faith laser claws. I actually already picked them up. I just,
wasn't paying attention.
I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Oh, my God. That is.
You're playing Elden Ring right now while you're talking, aren't you?
Of course I am.
So we've talked a lot of Elden Ring, and Shadow of the Erdtree does come out here in 11 days. Jason, who still hasn't played Elden Ring, what have you been playing?
Nothing.
All right, moving on.
It's just been that kind of week. We had a bunch of stuff going on with the youngest's baseball team and work and everything, so I just didn't have much time this week. And then the pool absorbed my whole weekend.
Oh, gotcha. If my dog makes noises, she is chasing shadows. I'm not sure what she's doing. She has went crazy.
Oh my God. These things wreck.
I told you. I did play Hellblade 2 and I beat it. That was my quote unquote assignment I gave myself for this week. I told you they were cool. So Hellblade 2, really strong first impression. It's kind of hard to call it a game. It's more of a story, a playable story than the first game. So I'll give out that. Story's pretty cool and does leave it open for a follow-up. Pacing's done really well. I was interested enough to pay attention so much so that, like, sometimes I'll play a game, right, and talk to my girlfriend, which is usually Elden Ring. Pretty easy to play Elden Ring and talk to your girlfriend, right? I told her, I was like, hey, so I'm giving myself assignment to play this Hellblade game, and I got to beat it before I talk about it, or before next podcast. She's like, all right. So I was talking to her early so that I could play it later at night. I was playing it through my stereo, so like everything sounded right. And again, kept my interest. I didn't have subtitles on. I just let the voices speak, right? It's not as scary. I'd say scary. The first one's not really scary. It's unnerving. It's not as unnerving as the first one. The visuals are better, which is kind of crazy to even say that because the first one had great visuals. But as somebody who takes photos semi-professionally, this is done exceptionally well. It feels like there's a cinematographer's eye on the entire gameplay. And let me say gameplay. Let's talk about that. The pacing of this game is walk around. Voices kind of guide you where you need to go, right? Like, we're just going to break this down to some really, to its super bare bones, right? You walk around, you listen to voices. Voices kind of tell you what to do, kind of play out the story. You hear conversations. You get into some occasional combat and some light puzzle solving. And then the story progresses, right? And then there's some big moments. And then the story progresses and there'll be a little bit more combat and more puzzles. But if I was to break it down, I played for 7.5 hours and beat it, right? And out of those 7.5 hours, about 2 hours of that was combat. Probably about 2 hours, an hour and a half was me puzzle solving, right? And the rest was walking and listening to somebody talk, right? And it's hard to get lost, I'll be honest with you, right? Like, it's very linear. Challenge level is pretty low. it auto saves as soon as you get into combat. So if you fuck up in combat, then, you know, it just puts you at the beginning of the combat most of the time, or sometimes whenever the last big moment was. The grand finale did not, is some combat and was actually not particularly hard because I'd really gotten the gist of how it all worked. It's basically dodge, parry, use focus and punish, right? Or use heavy attack to break block. If you know those things, then yes, you can get through it. And breaking it down so in such a caveman way makes it sound really rote. And if you go into it while playing Elden Ring, it is not going to grab you in the same way. Like, those are such different games. Elden Ring is more gameplay focused, which is good, right? Hellblade 2 is very narrative focused, and that's really the hook, is the narrative hook, right? Everything else is kind of on the side. Visually, Hellblade is the best looking game I have ever seen, period, though. I posted some screenshots that basically just look like highly saturated photos. The gameplay, occasionally there's a little bit of something that makes you realize it's a video game, right? In the way that something moves or something's just rendered in a way that makes it look a little bit gamey. But it really, really pushes the power of Unreal 5, like in a way that it's just nothing else is doing. It looks fantastic. I took screenshots that look like stuff I would have done in studio. Like, it, and like, it's not like I even altered the screenshots, right? Like, the one thing is the file format, I can't remember what it is, but it has to be turned into a PNG and it loses some of its brightness or its exposure that you see in the game when it renders down to a PNG. So like, I had to rebrighten stuff. But that's all I was doing when I posted that stuff. I tossed it in Lightroom and adjusted the exposure so you could see what I saw in the game. But I wasn't adding extra effects or anything like that. Like, literally just lightening the photo back up. I call it a photo. The image back up. And then posting them. And, like, they look like photos that I do in a studio. Like, it's crazy how good that game looks. I spent 7.5 hours because there was a lot of times I was just pausing and hitting the photo mode button so I could like cruise around the scene, like things that I can do that you can't do in the end that the game engine lets you do. So it lets you remove all characters so you could take a background, right? Like a landscape. It lets you adjust your, I won't dive too deep into it, but like a simulated aperture. It really lets you adjust the focal plane, but not the amount of light. So their aperture setting is literally just a focal plane adjustment versus a light and focal plane setting. You know, it doesn't have like a shutter speed or an ISO setting. So it's kind of what, what you get to do with it, but you can add light. So there's a couple of them that I added a light to the scene to lighten up the side that I was had spun around to look at. Right. But that was just the photo mode, right? There's additional filters that you can add, like, you know, software filters. So like to add different hues and things like that to the photo, or I keep calling it a photo, to the image. But it's pretty, pretty close to the Uncanny Valley. Like, and it does a really good job of it. And the gal that does Senua, one of the original videographers, honestly, does a really good job with her face capture in this game, like with conveying emotions and stuff like that. Like, it's a really solid experience, but I want to call it that. It's an experience more than it is a game, but there isn't anything out there that really does that well, right? Like, I think to call it a walking simulator is a little bit unfair because a lot of those are boring and this isn't boring. This is really good. The pacing's good enough that it kind of keeps you engaged all the way through. Even though that you're, like, it feels like half the time you're not directly in control of anything, right? You're just kind of watching things play out. But all the stuff that I captured was just me playing the game. Like, there's one that's a quote-unquote cutscene, but the cutscenes are all rendered in-engine. And when you can, there's only a handful of times, and this is the times that I didn't really take screenshots, where for some reason it's just completely locked in and you can't really move the virtual camera around. It's like, okay, well, this isn't a really true understanding what the game is. But anytime it would let me like fully play the camera, I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to play this. And yeah, that, hard to call it a game, but hard to call it anything you should miss if you're even a little bit interested. If you're interested in Vikings, it's not really a Viking story, but it kind of plays in some Viking and Celtic lore, right? If you like Heilung, because all the big moments have Heilung chants in it. If you like really cool graphics, if you, I don't know, enjoy spooky stories, like, yeah, I think it's great. Easy to be fair, right? Just because I wish there was a little bit more. I wish the puzzles were harder and I wish the combat was a little bit more varied. Easy 4.25 for me. First experience is a little bit better, but the follow-up's improvement is in the graphics department. And I think the storytelling's a little bit more solid into. I just think one's pacing of having more, a little bit more of an open end to it, made it a little bit better. But still very solid offering by Ninja Theory. Is it Ninja Theory that did that? Am I right?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Hellblade 2. Really cool. I think everybody, even Jason, has 7 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can play it. It's 6 chapters, and each chapter is roughly an hour or so long. So you could play through, and it's kind of, it doesn't say chapter 2, but like when you go to continue story, it'll tell you like in progress or where you're at. It's pretty easy to tell what chapter you're on because the setting and the story has progressed in a way that makes it clear that you're moving on to the next story beat. But yeah, does it with, you know, there's zero HUD, right? It's a very cinematic experience, and I don't know that you get a lot. I don't think there's anything quite like it, and I think that's why it's worth it. So I liked it. 2 thumbs up for me. Minor improvements need to be there, but on the type of game it is, I don't know that I could deal with it being a lot longer because it's such a narrative-driven experience, right? If there's a lot more of things me doing, then yes, I'd be open for more length. But because it is a very narrative experience, it's more like watching a season of something. And I think that's, if you look at it that way, where it's like an interactive season of a show, then yeah, it's pretty cool.
Sweet. Yeah. It's
worth firing up to watch your jaw drop. It's at the very least, like, play it for 30 minutes and you're like, decide if you want to play more of it. It's on Game Pass.
Right. That's the thing. I'll probably, you know, load it up. Oh man, I've just been on a Souls kick for a while now, and I'm about to, you know, do another playthrough of Elden Ring.
I do have one more thing before we hit break.
Yeah.
A game finally came out of early access. So I have a kind of a folder of games in Steam that's like, wait till they're out of early access. And, you know, I got pinged that one of my games was at 1.0. And that is a game by being published by Coffee Stain, you know, our Dwarves publisher, sure. Called Songs of Conquest. It is a callback to Heroes of Might and Magic 3, basically. And if you like old Heroes of Might and Magic, I think you'll probably like it. Like, it's different in some good ways. It is hard. I'm playing through the campaign, and I still can't beat level 4 of the human campaign. So I moved on to the frogs. I call them the frogs. So they're frog people. It's a game where it's got an interesting art style. It kind of looks like a mix of modern graphics and Super Nintendo, if that makes any sense. But it's hyper stylized and looks really good. It's really crisp. And like you build up towns, and those towns give you resources, and those resources you use to build more troops and upgrades and things like that. And then you have objectives on the map to kind of progress, right? And plays out in a grid-style combat, kind of like... Well, here's a Might and Magic, or I'm trying to think of Amplitude Games. They had Endless Legend. That's what I'm thinking of. Dungeon of the Endless, but also Endless Legend. And Endless Legend's a very similar style where you have like, you have so many troops in a stack, and that stack of troops has a certain attack power and buffs and things like that. When you go to attack something else, then, you know, it's your modifiers versus their modifiers depends on how, and their roll to hit basically depends on how much damage they do to that group, right? Positioning and elevation plays a difference in your combat. And then you've got spells that you can use to buff that combat. And the spells are fed, at least in this game, on the troop types. So you get elemental resources based on the types of troops you have. And some of those troops have abilities you can use to help enhance your spell abilities. It's a really way stripped down explanation of what it is. Check it out. It's a fairly unique game, but it really hams off a lot of... It's really influenced by Heroes of Magic 3. I'm pretty sure. I might be mixing it up because I haven't played that game in ages. But that's what it feels like to me, Heroes of Might and Magic 3. And it's pretty good. I imagine I will get better as I understand the strategy more, but it's a really good, like, pick up this game and play for a while and then put down and pick it up and play. Because, you know, it's a turn-based game, so you really can save it at any point, except for mid-combat. The combat's not overly complex, but also has, like, a subtle layer of difficulty underneath it to understand. So, if you're curious about it, watch a Twitch streamer, right? Like, I don't know that it's that expensive. I want to say like $25. Campaign looks like it'll probably give me 50, 60 hours. And plus you can play like, you know, custom maps and stuff like that. And then just kind of use strategies to conquer a map, which honestly, it's kind of fun like that, right? Like kind of the way you play Civilization, you play a campaign. You can kind of do the same thing, but it's a smaller campaign. It's just a campaign for a map. But each of those maps probably last you 5 or 10 hours. So, like, I think it's a good pick-up-and-play game. But it is pretty neat. But I don't know what to rate it yet because I haven't beaten it yet. I don't know if it'll, once I get to the other campaigns, if it'll be worth it to me. If I understand the mechanics or not. But so far, it's not a lame game. It's a pretty cool game. And again, that's the stripped-down recap of what I'm playing. But I kind of feel like we ought to take some kind of break. Are you guys down to take a break?
Yep. Sure.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be back. Back.
Woohoo.
So it is time for news, and we happen to be recording the day that lots of news has come out, so you know, we'll be talking about news today in the vein of the Xbox Game Showcase. I guess before we get started, is there anything I'm missing outside of that?
I don't know.
Damn.
I don't think there is.
Does anybody know when Path of Exile 2 is coming out?
There is going to be... It's going in closed beta very soon. With a... either an open beta or a release, like, you know, slated next year.
Gotcha.
So... I'm sure that the people who are in the closed beta are, you know, diehard supporters of Path of Exile 2 and have spent the requisite money.
But something that's just interesting that's, we've talked a lot of Elden Ring, and I just might as well get this off my chest, is when they had some kind of like early play for, you know, people that are way bigger than us that make more money at this than we do, for sure. You know, if you make any money, you're making more money than us. I guess there's over 100 new weapons for Shadow of the Erdtree. And it is an expansion versus just DLC. So there's that. Like, everybody, for all accounts, says it's big and has 10 big bosses.
Nice.
So to me, pretty much worth the price of entry, I'm thinking of.
I'm definitely picking it up. I mean, me and Rusty have been playing Souls for 2 months. Well, yeah. I've been playing for 2 months. He's been playing for like 5 weeks, but just back to back to back. And then one other thing I wanted to get out of the way that's not part of Xbox Game Showcase is there's something that you should keep your eye on. It's called Project Oreo. And a whole bunch of actual veteran game developers are working on this. It's Fallout 2 in the Fallout 4 engine. Remaking it map by map. And
oh, wow.
So, you know, you already know what to do, right? They just have to recreate it. And looking at the... there's a short form trailer that's out there if you look for Project Arroyo. And, you know, A-R-R-O-Y-O. And pretty damn close what they got. They got some of the early temples in there and some of the street scenes and stuff like that. But it looks like they're making some good progress on that. So that'll more than likely be a mod that's deployed on like GOG or something, because it'll probably be a big download. And then on to things that are like super current, as in hours before we started recording, and honestly before any of us had a chance to watch it, as all of us have had to watch it before and during the show, essentially. Xbox Game Showcase. Now, I did not sit there and watch that. I watched a bunch of trailers. A lot of trailers, in fact. Me and Rusty watched several. Jason's watched some. I'm just going to kind of go through some of the stuff that seemed interesting. Honestly, steal of the show, and Rusty, you tell me if I'm wrong. Doom, the Dark Ages.
Oh, God. Yes, please. Give it to me.
Oh, God, yes.
It's starts off with like a chainsaw shield.
That's a shield.
Yes.
And second, I mean...
It's like a Captain America shield, too.
The thing I hated about Doom was the fact that it was like... It was just, you know, shit was flying at you and you had no other recourse but to fucking dodge.
Right.
And at the end of the of Doom Eternal, that's all you did. Is like it was just fast paced side dodges against everything. Now you have a shield, but not only do you have a shield, it's like it's a chainsaw, and you can fucking like Captain America that shit. Yes, please.
Yeah, there was also a Doombot, so it looked like you could get in a huge like robot like Doom mixed with Gundam,
right?
And it's, a fucking Doom Dragon,
a fucking it looked like there was a stake thrower fucking weapon. It was man. Give it me now.
Yeah, give it to me. Give me all of it.
It looks ridiculous in all the right ways. No real gameplay from State of Decay 3. It's just a cinematic trailer, so fuck you. Dragon Age Velguard. I have really mixed emotions about. So they did a cinematic trailer with a bunch of cartoony-looking characters. They're supposed to be doing a gameplay reveal here in a couple days, so by the time I get back, I will have watched that to see what it looks like. If the gameplay is good, I'll definitely give it a try. You're so far from where the first Dragon Age was, though. Like, nothing tonally fits that same game. And that's just been bugging me for the better part of 15 years now. Potential, though, we'll see. If any of the same people that made a difference in the original Dragon Age are working on it, I hope they do good with this. Something I didn't show you guys, but Fallout 76, you're going to have a playable ghoul character, which, no surprises, right? They're trying to ham off of the series. I need to really make a Fallout 5, but who knows when that comes out.
That's never coming out, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? We're going to be old. Like, we're already getting old. Like, we're going to be really old. Something that was interesting that we were all just watching recently, South of Midnight. So, it's a game set in the Deep South. It looks like a trash heap area. Their cutscenes were, like, in stop-motion animation. And what did you say it was, Rusty?
It was animation by Q's. So it's every other frame is missing. It makes it look like stop motion while being computer animated.
And to me, who's been playing everything at 90 plus FPS now for years, I don't know if I can handle it.
It takes some getting used to. Like, it's the same animation style as Into the Spider-Verse. And it really does take some getting used to.
But do I want to get used to it?
From what I've seen of the game, the setting
looks kind of neat.
The setting looks really neat. And they did show some gameplay of like a section and a little bit of combat. And I'm not necessarily like super great on the combat.
It looked all right.
That's just because I've been playing Souls-like for the fucking past, 2 months now? So, 2 months straight, non-stop fucking Souls-like. So, it probably needs a little bit of polish, and I really wish that they had not gone with the animation by twos. But I can kind of see why they did, and it's a thing that I'm going to need more than 4 minutes to determine whether or not it's, you know, something that's going to, you know, keep my interest. But it looked good. It kind of had she was using like spirit knives and she was using like two knife combat and it seemed all right, but kind of clunky. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if they smooth out the attack animations and make them kind of look more fluid, I'm all right with it. But then again, I'm kind of like, everything has a tell in games that I've played for the last 2 weeks, 2 months. So, I'm a little picky about my attack animations now.
Yeah, I'm too. not a real lot, a whole lot of reveal, but so Starfield had a reveal today. I guess they got some new additional content, and looks like the Shattered Space DLC is going to follow. What was the Serpent faction?
Oh, the cult. I call them the cult, but yeah,
the cult of snakes or whatever they are. Anyways,
yeah, it was the Church of something or other. I can't fucking remember. That game went in one ear and out the other for me. I don't remember very many of the details.
Anyways, it's following that storyline as for the DLC. I guess we'll see what it is. I'm really more excited for the fact that they unleashed the toolkit today. So there's just like they did in Fallout, there's a creation store thing where you can get some free mods plus some premium skin things that you can add. I'm really interested to see what happens with the mod community outside of Bethesda and see if they fix some of the things to actually make it a little bit more replayable.
I think that if there's anything that they need to fix with...
It's locations. Sure that, huh? It's locations. Give me a little bit more reason. And then little bit more... Something that has to be done about the space stuff, right? Like, there's some interesting thing there, but because of the way that you can just kind of warp to anywhere, you end up just not using that spaceship that much. And I suppose you could just always launch into space and then fly around and then warp and then fly around and land, right? But something needs to be retooled with that a little bit. And then you played that game for 200 hours like I did. I played a lot of Starfield, right? I did have fun with it, but when you've played it a really long time, there's not a lot of random gen. It's just random. It's the locations are randomized, right? And there's like 25 locations, right? Like 25 structures that are laid out in a base, and might be on different planets, but you kind of run into those same 25 structures a lot. And something needs to be fixed with that random gen, or just somebody needs to build like four times more of those so it feels a little bit less samey. Right? Like when it's doing the random roll generation, it's like, okay, you've already done this before, so this is what we're going to choose now. Right? Before it does a repeat of anything you've done.
Right. Or add additional structures. You know, it needs to have like, I don't know, like three or four times more little POIs that...
That's what I'm talking about. You know,
that can pop up. And I think that there needs to be something other than just barren rock in between those POIs.
Yeah, I don't... Like,
the time to get to, you know, get from content to content needs to be about 30 seconds, not 4 minutes. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, there's 4 minutes of running in a straight line, not seeing anything of value for a lot of that game.
Yeah, it kind of just comes down to content design choices in that game that kind of holds it back. But we shall see what the community does, because there's a lot of potential there. Perfect Dark reboot showed up and kind of looks like a Deus Ex kind of mixed with Dying Light parkour. Stealth game, like, has potential, looked neat. Not sure how it ends up playing out. If it's a 10-hour game like that, then like, okay, well, that was fucking pointless. But like, if it's like a 25-hour game and the stealth is pretty rewarding, like, then it might be fun, right?
Well, I'm kind of over stealth games, to be honest. Like
Dishonored's probably the last one that I really liked.
Well, yeah,
Dishonored was pretty fucking good, but Dishonored was like 2016 or something.
Yeah, and that was, you know, that was stealth with it. The purpose.
Trying to think. Fable had a mostly cinematic trailer, so I don't really know what that is, I guess, but it comes out in 2025, so we'll see more of that later. Avowed. Still not sure about that game. It's going to be on Game Pass, and I really like Obsidian. So I'm hoping beyond hope that it plays out well. It's still looking a little weirdly cartoony. I believe in Obsidian. Don't let me down. I really hope this is an alternative to Skyrim with Obsidian Flare. Better narrative roots, but we shall see, right?
Yeah, I think when people were like, oh, this is going to be a better Skyrim, and they kind of came out and said, well, just
we're not really going
there. Was like, it's not quite Skyrim. Because that's a lot of, you know, that's big shoes to fill.
It's not really.
I mean,
a lot of Skyrim's nostalgia.
I mean, Skyrim is, you could play Skyrim on your fucking toaster these days, and they probably have released it with additional, like, you know, a full price for your toaster. But the staying power of that game, you know, it's so old. But they still sell it at full price. That's kind of the meme, but everybody's learned, you know, everybody's played Skyrim. Kind of, you know, is what it comes down to. Like, there was an old lady that played Skyrim.
Right.
It's just, when you've got, you know, this IP, and it kind of looks like Skyrim because of, like, the spell casting and first person, I don't know if they want to lean that far into it. It's like they took a cautionary step back from that statement, and that put a question mark in my mind. So I've been kind of watching to see what what they do as far as gameplay wise, what, you know, what the gameplay is actually going to look like. And of that, you know, of the trailer that we saw, there was a lot of in-engine portions of that trailer, which still kind of, like you said, kind of looks a little cartoony, doesn't quite look right. And then there's maybe, you know, a short section where it's actually in first person and they're, you know, and they're doing stuff. That part was way too small for me to, you know, to give it any vote of confidence. You know, you can go and do flashy cinematics and, you know, big title cards and all that bullshit. That does not mean anything until I can see actual gameplay. And, you know, I didn't see a whole lot of actual gameplay in that trailer.
I didn't either. And that was worrisome.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully they pull it off, because, I mean, it's a good concept. There needs to be, you know, something that kind of challenges the idea of Skyrim, you know, in the gaming space, because there really isn't anything that challenges Skyrim. And the fact that it even evokes that thought, is yeah, it's heartening, and it's also kind of scary, because if they don't pull it off, they're immediately going to be like, well, you're not as good as Skyrim, and then fucking completely written off. But I hope that doesn't happen.
But, so,
more gameplay is what I need. You know, like, these trailers need to be, like, 100% gameplay.
Yeah, because the Gears of War trailer is a trailer, right? It's not gameplay.
Right.
We saw Phoenix, Marcus Phoenix, right? So, cool, but show me gameplay. Stalker 2 was more of a gameplay trailer. I want to play Stalker.
That one gave me a better idea of how the game's going to look like.
Assassin's Creed Shadows just kind of look like a B-tier Ghost of Tsushima. Like, I don't know why they're going after that after Ghost of Tsushima just launched on PC. That is a vastly... I don't know how they beat the combat in that, because Ghost of Tsushima combat is just fucking wild.
It's super great.
Yeah, so, like, something would have to be special. But, again, we've talked about this ad nauseum. Like, Assassin's Creed really has lost me over the years.
Yep.
And, yeah, so... I guess we shall see as things happen. I'm going to report on the state of Dragon Age here soon. And a lot of this stuff doesn't come out for a while, so we shall see. Because a lot of the, like, there's other stuff, right, that I just had no interest in. Like, there's a game called Winterboro, which is a survival game with tiny mice. Yeah, fuck that. Mixtape is a game that looks like it's a coming-of-age story. I'm almost 42 years old. Not really. I came of age more than half my lifetime ago. Flight Simulator, that is a niche audience. Like, yep, yeah. You go fly your Boeings and hope the doors don't come off. Elder Scrolls 6 is another Memorpager. Cool. Life is Strange. Kind of hit and miss for me. Like, I think Hellblade's a little bit more my speed for that kind of game. Indiana Jones, another cinematic trailer. Hope it's great, right? What else was shown? Fragpunk, Hero Shooter. We watched that together. Hero Shooter, right? Like, Overwatch is there. Diablo 4's got a new thing coming out in October. I guess I'm just going to wait till October. What else? We did talk about Metal Gear Solid, didn't we? Snake Eater?
Didn't. But
I do want to play that. I did not realize how far back that game originally came out. When I did look it up, it came out in 2004. I guess it's worthy of a remake in 2024.
20 years is about right.
I wish there was going to be more Metal Gear Solid, but sadly, he can't make those games anymore because he's not part of Konami. So, and I don't think it will ever come. I mean, right now, what the fuck is his name? Death Stranding, dude. Kojima. There we go. Kojima's got Kojima and can't do old properties anymore.
Right.
So, and we're working on Death Stranding 2, or I say we. He's working on Death Stranding 2, so I'm looking forward to that. But going back to Snake Eater, after not playing it in probably 19 or 20 years, I think I could. We are in that weird age where, like, I was in another side thread with some people, and they were talking about, you know, new Silent Hill coming out. It's not new Silent Hill. It's old Silent Hill. It's it's another remake. Like, when did Japanese companies lose their originality? Like, they made some great games 20 years ago. Time to make some more good games, guys. Like, these companies have it in them, but, like, Konami went more towards casino software and releases a handful of games, right? I guess they're making bank in the gambling market. And Capcom, like how many Street Fighters can we do, guys? Like, it's Street Fighter and Monster Hunter and Resident Evil. And Resident Evil right now is in just, like, remake hell. Like, these look good, but they're literally just going back to the catalog and remaking the old games. Because, I mean, I feel like the newer games did all right. Like, the only one I think that didn't... Yeah, the only new one I think that didn't do so hot was 6. 5 did pretty fucking good. I have a lot of good memories of 5, even though it's not a normal Resident Evil game. But, yeah, like, the Resident Evil's new stuff seems to be doing all right. I don't understand the Capcom, like, just hold on these old franchises. Again, like, what are we going on? I'm going to be on Resident Evil, like, 9, and we just did Street Fighter 6, but there's all the, like, additional Street Fighters in between, right? Like, Hyper and Turbo and Remake of 2, and, like, just ad nauseum. They've been doing Street Fighter since fucking 90s. Like, I feel like they could come out with some new IPs. Like, didn't they do Devil May Cry?
God, you're gonna ask me that.
Well, I mean, it's Capcom or Konami. Like, it's one of the two, right? Like, Japanese publishers have made some really good action games. Just for whatever reason, the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, like, been in remake hell over there with Capcom.
It's more of, like,
or cash grab hell.
It's a cash grab situation. They're going for the, you know, for the easy fruit, because, you know, you've got to make the numbers.
Well, see, like, we're talking remakes, right? Let's go to Square Enix, another Japanese company, right? And we've got Final Fantasy VII in three parts over the better part of a decade, because that's how long. Like, I thought I was going to get through the whole experience, but no, it's just part one, and it's taken them.
You know, so that is a remake, not a, you know, that's not, like, that is taking the Final Fantasy VII story and completely putting putting whole new development into it.
Right, and then turning it into a button masher, live action, non-turn-based Final Fantasy game.
Now, I never said that I liked it, but it is different than than Final Fantasy VII, the... You know, cast a summon and put your controller down for fucking, you know, what was it, 90 seconds when you cast Knights of the Round.
Yeah, you know, like, I did like those moments, though. But it's also not, you know, Final Fantasy 13. Final Fantasy is such a hit and miss with me. Like, they've made some truly epic games. But I kind of feel like Final Fantasy's target audience are the people that grew up with it, and we're all older now because Final Fantasy's been going on since the early 90s. So, like, we're all in our 40s now. Like, quit telling coming-of-age stories and tell a new story to people that are, like, closer to middle age, because that's the people that are really into Final Fantasy. Or, like, our generation still plays games, damn it. There's quite a few people. It's not as looked down upon as it was when, even 15 years ago, like, we were a bunch of fucking dorks. But a lot of the dorks came out of the shadows.
Probably play the latest one, then. Because the latest one isn't a coming-of-age story.
Which one? I have that, and I never finished it. Fuck. Yeah, that one was pretty good. Yeah, that one was pretty good. I just didn't finish it. I fell off of it for, I don't know why.
That's because it kind of gets long in the tooth near the end. It is a good game. Like, that game is, well, it It didn't start with a kid. Your main character is not a kid. Your main character is like... Your main character is kind of punched in the nuts a lot.
Yeah, I remember that. He's a little bit grizzly.
Yeah. And, you know, he has to kind of like, you know, do some, you know, in world terms, kind of morally gray shit to be able to get things done. You know, so it's a different take on, you know, on Final Fantasy, but I did kind of agree with you. It needed to be like something that wasn't, it wasn't Noctis driving around the fucking, you know, countryside in his like flashy ass car, you know, with his buds in the back seat. You know, I played that game all the way through twice. Still can't stand that character or his buddy.
Well, I mean, as I've gotten older, I just don't like Squall that much.
I mean, I can understand that.
Or Cloud
is, you know. Well, Cloud is the quiet emo guy, and then Squall was the bitchy emo guy.
You know, something like, I completely forgot that is worth looking up. There's a game called Expedition 33. We're talking about JRPGs, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. Think a JRPG with an art style that's very closer to Miyazaki. That's a turn-based game with some time things that you can do during the combat.
Interesting. Okay.
Expedition 33. All right. And that was that's me doing three things at once and just saw it. And I was like, I don't remember that. So I looked it up real quick and I was like, that looks fucking cool. So yeah, Expedition 33. The only unoriginal or the original IP out of everything I saw that looks cool. Like, legitimately interested in it.
Okay.
But not going to play it on this PC because then the audio will come through on the podcast.
No, I'm kind of watching it on the side right view right now. Do they show anything other than cinematic?
Oh yeah, yeah. Just go a little bit towards the end of the trailer.
Okay. I mean, it, you know, the art style's nice.
The art style. Okay. You're gonna see why I said it. It looks very Elden Ring, Dark Souls 3.
Okay. Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, it looks neat.
So that looks like a old style JRPG, but with, you know, really fucking good graphics
and some really good flair.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. I pulled up Reddit on this, and the first comment on Reddit on the game showcase is, I'm really interested in all these, but Expedition 33 really caught my attention. Because I wasn't expecting to be a turn-based RPG.
Well, they're not... I mean, those kinds of games are... Well,
a dying breed right now.
They were dead.
Yeah.
I mean... I wanted Final Fantasy VII Remake to be was a turn-based RPG, but make it look beautiful, you know? It's not what we got. Yeah, I'm going to need to keep Expedition 33. It's Claire Obscure.
It doesn't have a release date, though, does it?
Expedition 33 is... Let's see... I'm looking. Does not say. It does not say. I'm trying to. The site that I'm on has a really shitty trailer. Coming in 2025. Wish list now.
Okay.
So.
Well, anyways, the trailer
stops every like 30 seconds.
Like, there's a decent showing at the game thing. The thing that needed to happen more was more gameplay, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what sold me on Doom, looking at gameplay and being like, holy shit, this is this over the top. We're not just doing cinematics, it's just cool shit the dude's doing. Yeah, I'm sold. And that's what Avowed needs, so just there is a extended play avowed gameplay thing that's going to happen tomorrow. So this week we ought to just look out for news, because I think we're going to see some gameplay from stuff that was trailers only.
Right.
And well, I'll have a more informed opinion, I think, by next week on everything.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of the stuff that just needs to be fleshed out a lot more. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I don't really got much else. Jason, is there anything I'm missing? Been randomly very quiet.
Nope. Not that I've seen. That's kind of why I've been quiet. Y'all kind of hit all the high points. So.
All right. Well, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/realtiltcast, and search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find some friends of the show. We just got two, For the Love of Gaming and TVGP.TV. I'm sure they're playing the new Destiny. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right.
Peace.